This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Many of us grew up being taught that idealized myth of Christopher Columbus. Today, that presentation of Columbus doesn't really work anymore. And now it's giving way to what many say is a more appropriate holiday, Indigenous Peoples Day. San Antonio has joined with other cities and communities around the world with an Indigenous Peoples Day recognition. And what does that mean? What does it mean to you? What does it say that Indigenous people are going to get a day? How are we going to use that day? Lots of ways for you to go in our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour with Ramon Vasquez. He is the executive director of the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Missions. Ramon, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Also here is Linda Jimenez. She is the tribal council member for the Tipan Tapilan,
Cowiltecan
Nation, and also is Sean Marceau. He is the director of the Archaeological Research Center at the University of Texas, San Antonio. Welcome, all of you. And so, Linda, it says a lot that I'm wrestling with saying these words. They should roll off my tongue. I should have them immediately. We don't say them enough.
No, we don't. We don't say them enough. Cowiltecan is enough to stumble a lot of people. Just the idea of Coahuila, and then you add Cowiltecan on there. It's a difficult word to say for people who aren't Spanish speakers, for starters. And the fact that people don't even know that, you know, that this don't recognize that this used to be Coahuila. You know, it's like it's always been the United States. It's always been the way it is now, which is not, you know, it's just not true. This used to be Mexico. This used to be Nueva Coahuila. And that's where the name, part of our name came from, was the Cowiltecos.
And tell me about the people who are the Cowiltecos.
Today, the Cowiltecos are the ones of us that are here still that have had ancestors who've been here for centuries. And we were from this area all the way over to Del Rio and down into Mexico, into Coahuila, what is now Coahuila in Mexico. And we've been in this area for thousands of years. We have there are artifacts that show that they found at when they were doing some excavating at the Applewhite and some other places around this area where we have evidence of indigenous people here 7,000-8,000 years ago. So indigenous people have been here for a very long time. We as Cowiltecos are ones that are still around today and have formed a community and are, you know, we meet on a regular basis. We have ceremony. We reach out to other people that are not aware of their ancestry in some cases.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that. Are there people here in San Antonio who have been here, multi-generational San Antonio? They don't know that they are of indigenous people.
Sure. Yes, I think there's lots of. I think you can probably say that almost anyone. I don't know what the exact percentage would be, but if the majority of people who are Mexican, who have Mexican ancestry, have some indigenous heritage somewhere. And so you really have a lot of people here who, and there was so much discrimination against Mexicans to begin with, and then against indigenous people, that it became very difficult for people to recognize their indigenous roots. I have a really good friend who's originally from Piedras Negras and lives now, and she lived here for many years and then has moved to California, and invited her to come to some ceremony, and she said she just really couldn't do it. She had been so... She knew that she had indigenous blood, but she wasn't able to let go of that indoctrination that she'd had growing up about not being indigenous. It was very difficult for her.
And how important is it for people to be able to wrap their heads around that I am indigenous, my roots go deep into this land, personally, my blood? There is this popular myth or whatever, this narrative we try to impose on people saying, no, you are an invader in this land. You are from Mexico, and you are here. But in actuality, you are here where you have always have been.
Exactly, exactly. We were not the invaders. The indigenous people were definitely not the invaders. And in many cases, the Mexicans weren't the invaders either. It depends on what era you came. But when this became the United States, when it became Texas, it was, you know, there were lots of Mexicans here. There are a lot of indigenous people here. And we just got sort of taken in, you know. We were the ones who were invaded. It wasn't
right,
the
and then
way
categorized as the outsider,
exactly.
As the other.
Yeah.
And so Ramon Vasquez, as the executive director of the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Missions, what do you make of Indigenous Peoples Day?
Well, one of the things that I mentioned earlier is that for us, for many of us across the country, is every day is Indigenous Peoples Day for us. We have to live with all the discriminatory practices, we're the only race of people that have to prove who we are constantly. And so moving forward with the, you know, Indigenous Peoples Day across the nation just means that there are more communities having that conversation, critical conversations that have been avoided historically. And I think that we need to do a better job of having the conversations about what it is about our history here in the United States and this continent. So I think there's a lot of, you know, movement in that direction. I'm a co-founder of the National Urban Indian Family Coalition, and we have about 26 cities that we're working with across the country. The majority of those cities have now all recognized Indigenous Peoples Day. So I think we're on the right track, at least.
Are you trying to supplant Christopher Columbus Day or do something different?
No, I think we need to do something different because in the history of the world, we have educated more people than has ever been educated in the past. And so I think people are becoming more aware now that there are a lot of untruths. And we can't lose our identity and our history in the shadows of Christopher Columbus. We already know that there's falsehoods there. We already know that he didn't, you know, discover us. We've already made that pretty clear. I just think that we can't lose our history and our integrity as a people in the shadows of Christopher Columbus.
So you want Indigenous Peoples Day to be a day of truth?
I want it to be a day of truth, reckoning, and consciousness.
All right. We're going to take a break here. Our phone line is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day. San Antonio has declared that on the 14th of October will be Indigenous Peoples Day here. Other cities, other communities have picked other days. We'll try and figure out, like, is there going to be some sort of unifying day, or is it still sort of flexible? What are we trying to achieve with an Indigenous Peoples Day? What does it say to you when we talk about a day of truth, as we talk about the origin story of the European arrival to the Americas? 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day. What does this day mean? How do we make the most of it when we're going to be talking about the origin story of the European arrival into the New World? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Sean Marceau, he is the director of the Archaeological Research Center at the UTSA. So, Sean, if you can tell me a little bit more about the history that is from here. What was it like here before Spanish arrival?
Sure. Prior to Spanish arrival, you had numerous Native American groups living here in Central Texas. They used, obviously, the water was the main draw for why many of the groups were in this area. They gathered food. They communicated with groups outside of just Central Texas. There were a lot of relationships established with folks in East Texas and to the Southwest and to the South. And so just a very vibrant community or communities of peoples who lived here. They, again, were, you know, hunting, living off the land and all the great natural resources here in the area. And so we believe that they were mostly nomadic. In this area, they weren't as sedentary as they were in other areas, but maybe staying in certain areas for parts of the year and then moving across the landscape, collecting, gathering food sources and stuff
but
that.
But these were civilizations.
Correct. Absolutely.
And they had art. They had culture. They understood mathematics. They understood astronomy. They were able to, they rival any civilization in the world.
I believe so. I believe so. I think that we have evidence that, I mean, obviously when the Spanish got here, we know from some of the archival evidence that, yeah, they were, you know, watching the stars and knew astronomy. They were, you know, multiple languages across the state of Texas. So, you know, distinct cultures that were living in different ways and in different places, you know. So, yeah, it was very diverse and I think thriving community.
Let's go to the phone lines because our phone line is filling up. 210-614-8980. Let's get Travis on the air. Travis, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment. It seems like around the San Antonio area, particular when I drive in and out of town, there's huge acreages that have been clear cut all the way to the Caliche. And it seems like maybe we're making some of those same mistakes that we previously made in not taking advantage of the fact that indigenous peoples had lived here for many, 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 many years. And there was a lot of resources here that they used as far as plant wise and things like that, that I think we're just clear-cutting everything, planting non-native things, and just really not taking advantage of the fact that there is that history and that those peoples really were masters at living here for all those generations.
Travis, thank you for your call. Linda Jimenez, a tribal council member for the Taplilan Coiltecan Nation.
Much better.
can Indigenous Peoples Day also be used at looking at how we are stewarding the earth and the planet and nature?
Certainly, yeah. I think that would be one way that we could definitely use Indigenous Peoples Day to think about what it is to live off of the land, to understand our connection to nature and to the land. One of the recent books that I read in terms of climate change was talking about part of the problem that we're having so much trouble is because we don't see ourselves as part of nature anymore. And that's one of the things that's very clear with most Indigenous people, especially those raised in traditions of honoring the land, is that you know you're connected to nature. You know you're part of it. You're not separate from it. You're not here to dominate nature. You're here to live within it and to understand it as a part of yourself. And so if we can move to that, that would be a huge advance in terms of, and a beautiful benefit from Indigenous Peoples Day, to be able to have that, to make those, begin to make those kinds of connections.
Have respect for the earth, maintain sustainability.
Sure.
But Ramon Vasquez, I'm not native. I have no native DNA in here. I'm totally European. How do I take part in Indigenous Peoples Day?
No, I think right now it's just about education. It's about education and awareness. We have to get as many people to have the conversation about what does San Antonio look, what does indigenous San Antonio look like? Because there's a difference between indigenous and an aboriginal. Because here in San Antonio, we have aboriginal people that have been here for 10,000 years. But not just that, we have now San Antonio is the 10th largest city in the country with an American Indian population per capita. That means that more and more indigenous families from across the country are making San Antonio their home. And so we have to be prepared as a city to welcome these new families that are making San Antonio their home, and then look at what are we doing, what type of conversations, what does our school system look like, so that the education that our children are receiving is correct and sensitive to other tribal communities that are making San Antonio their home. So you don't have to be indigenous, you don't have to be an American Indian to have a conversation. All we have to do is we need to be aware, and we have to provide a good education and conversation. And I think that's where San Antonio has kind of fallen short, because we avoid those very difficult conversations. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
But these conversations that go at the heart of who we are, why are we right here, and who did we take this land from? I mean, this is, it was an invasion, you know, European invasion of North America that happened.
Right.
So people don't, it's a difficult conversation to have. And then we had the American Indian Wars, in which took place right around us. And you read San Antonio history, there's a lot of Indian attacks and counterattacks, and all this stuff happened. Council House fight is a big part of San Antonio history.
Right. Well, think about that. I mean, I have an uncle that said it was better to grow up getting beaten up as a Mexican than to be killed as an Indian. Mm-hmm. We had the law of extermination here. And so even now, on the eve of 2020, we are still struggling with the state of Texas in regards to recognizing the indigenous population of Texas. And so we're the only state in the nation, we're one of a few states in the nation that does not have an Indian commission or policies on its American Indian population. And so how do we right these wrongs? By beginning to have these conversations and getting more people, non-natives, to recognize that we have contributed to San Antonio. As Native Americans, we have contributed to San Antonio since day one, since we were fortunate enough to be found by the Spanish, right? So since day one, we have been contributing, okay, to the city of San Antonio as an indigenous people. We continue to contribute today. We're teachers, lawyers. We have city council members. We have Linda's father was a doctor delivering babies into this city. We have state lawmakers, state representatives. We have Bexar County commissioners, all that are indigenous, that come from an indigenous lineage. And so we have to help San Antonio recognize the contributions of the American Indians to the city of San Antonio, not just historically, but that we're making today.
And the most important thing right now is recognition, remembering, documentation, honoring the indigenous people here now and the people who were here before.
Right.
And Linda, can you help me with that? I mean, how are we doing right now on that? Remembering, documenting, telling the story correctly, not having some deliberate form of amnesia, trying to say, well, no one was here. We just found this place. It was cool. It was great. And then we put an Alamo right there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we just finished celebrating our 300 years, right? And there was some recognition of indigenous participation, but a lot of it was not. There were huge gaps in the information. And, the number one source of difficulties with people understanding the heritage and the history are the schools. I mean, in the school system, if you look at the textbooks, there might be, maybe a couple of paragraphs, maybe a page about indigenous people here. It's like we were never here, except, of course, as savages who, killed and destroyed all these wagon trains that were coming in and all this stuff. People don't understand that, we didn't start the fight. they came and they took over. And because they attempted to take over and in many cases claimed the land as theirs, we didn't have that concept. We didn't have that concept of you own the land. You can't own birds. You can't own trees. You can't own, you know, animals that are on the land unless you have that concept, right? And that's just not part of what we do. And so part of what the whole educational thing is to get people to understand that we were here, we're still here, and that we've, you know, been involved in many, many different ways, whether or not they regard us or not.
I'm going to go to the phones with Antonio Diaz. Antonio Diaz, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz. This past Thursday, the mayor gave a proclamation to Texas Indigenous Council recognizing October 14th as Indigenous Peoples Day. He started off on the wrong foot, saying it was August, but he corrected himself. And it's been a long struggle. Different mayors throughout this 20-some-odd years that I've been trying to get this recognized simply stonewalled our efforts. And so I'm very, very glad and appreciative of this city council and this mayor finally taking the right step forward. Maybe it's a courageous step for them because, I mean, this is a colonizer's world. They don't want our narrative to supersede theirs is the way I see it.
And both can exist? We can have both simultaneously, you know?
Yes, as long as there's honesty and truth.
Mm-hmm. And all right, Antonio Diaz, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. So Linda Jimenez talking about telling of the story and how we can make what do you want to see happen on the 14th of October? What should we do?
That's a very good question. Well, it would be nice to have some different ceremonies available to people. I mean, we would have some sort of ceremonial recognition. That would be nice. I think if we could have conversations with people, just sit down and talk with people to let and have some kind of opportunity to give people information about the Indigenous people from here. I think that would be really helpful. I think there are a number of different ways that we could share some of that information. I don't know that it'll happen this next Monday, because it's, as far as I know, I don't know of anything that's planned for Monday. I just know that it's identified as Indigenous Peoples Day, and there's some people who take it off because, like, my office has always been closed for years on Columbus Day. We didn't call it Columbus Day, but it was to recognize the fact that, you know, that people had come and that people had been sacrificed, and that it was really recognizing the fact that of the struggle for Indigenous people. It really wasn't about honoring Columbus, but it was a day for us to take off, to go and spend some time thinking about, you know, who we are and what we do. And so to see the kinds of things where we could have an opportunity to talk, to have this kind of conversation about Indigenous people and who we are and what we've done and who we are now as well as who we were before and what happened in between. And I think what Ramon was saying about being uncomfortable about having these conversations is that there was a lot of intentional destruction of Indigenous people and their ways. And people don't like to look at that any more than they like to look at slavery.
A lot of lies. A lot of lies. So we got to get through that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. The phone number is 210-614-8980. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day here in San Antonio and around the world. 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you want to see happening on Indigenous Peoples Day as a way of having healing conversations, acknowledgments, talking about current issues, because there are many here in San Antonio, and we'll get to those. 210-614-8980. And let's go to Rick on the phones. Rick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Rick. I'm a member of the Comanche Nation. There's one thing I heard on your show that was kind of, that hasn't been brought up, is that Indigenous people are, in this country, are political class. We have sovereignty, we have tribal governments, we have laws, you know. And the next thing I want to bring up, in San Antonio, we don't really hear from the other mission families as much, like the Tehuans, you know. I think their voices need to be heard more often.
Okay, Rick, thank you for that. And Ramon Vasquez, Executive Director of the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Missions. Can you help me respond to what Rick brought up?
Yeah, well, you know, thank you for the question. There are, we estimate, close to 100,000 descendants that come from the missions of San Antonio and South Texas. Over 100,000 that live in San Antonio. There are definitely at least, if we use the formula that the Canary Islanders use, and that is if Canary Islanders can talk about 10,000 descendants from 16 families, well, you can imagine we have about 20,000 from each mission. There's five missions in San Antonio. So we are definitely, this day is definitely going to help promote those conversations. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, being a paragraph or a page in a history book. Well, even in the World Heritage Designation application, I think it was about 400 pages long. Our history in there was only 4 pages out of that entire document. But yet we have World Heritage status because of the missions of San Antonio.
Sean Marceau with the Archaeological Research Center at the University of Texas at San Antonio. There's a lot of concern about burial sites and also about human remains. What is, when we talk about the Alamo being a graveyard, a cemetery, what are we talking about? Help me understand.
Sure, we're talking about evidence and records that demonstrate that people were buried at the Alamo.
And these are Indigenous people?
Correct. Indigenous people as well as Spanish soldiers and other Texians and other folks as well that aren't Indigenous.
It's, and when you say the Alamo, it's not, you know, it was a big place.
Right, and it wasn't always in the same place. You know, some people forget that Mission Valero or the Alamo was actually had three locations. It's in its third and final location where it is today. And so we're pretty certain from the records that there were burials at certainly the second location and probably the first location as well. And so so it's just sort of a recognition that, and it happened at all the missions, and it's a recognition that when at the missions and somebody died, they would bury them there on site. That was just part of the ceremony and part of how people treated folks when they passed. So it's an issue that will remain. It's not going away because it you know, as long as we're there, there, you know, the descendants are there as well.
And so, Ramon Vasquez, can you tell me what is it that it speaks to you about that?
Well, let me just say something real quick too, that in regards to San Antonio de Valero, which is commonly known today as the Alamo, is that's a Catholic cemetery, and so we can't forget that the remains that are buried there are Catholic. They're Christianized Indians and settlers, people with African heritage that are buried there. And they all non-Christian, all non-Catholics were buried outside the walls, okay, according to the documentation. So we, you know, I don't want to lose sight that what we're talking about is a Catholic cemetery. It was dedicated in 1749 as a Catholic cemetery, and it's in the burial books of when it was dedicated. So with that, you know, I think we can't lose sight of that. I mean, there are descendants. thousands of descendants that come from the Alamo.
And I know there's a, was it a legal battle now?
That's correct, yeah.
To whether or not to make that cemetery designation, and that could have a impact on the Alamo revisioning, you know, they have going on right now. What would you want to see happen?
Well, I think what they need to do is slow down the process. I've been a member of the Alamo Citizens Advisory Committee now since 2014, and we've been asking for this to be incorporated into the plan for 5 years. And so it's not like they haven't, the Alamo hasn't had the opportunity or the guidance or the input to include these processes, these regulatory processes into the plan. And so now we find ourselves in court. What we're looking for is that the cemetery receive the protections that are afforded to it under the laws of Texas. Under the Health and Safety Code, the cemetery at the Alamo is a protected cemetery. And so right now, the laws are being circumvented. And all we're asking is slow down the process.
Okay, so if they were to achieve that, what would happen at that site?
So basically, we would have a historic cemetery delineation investigation where the cemetery boundaries are established. And then they would have to adjust their plan accordingly to avoid any potential burials or destruction of potential burials. And so that's all we're asking for is that, you know, protect the cemetery, give it the protections under the laws. What they have said, this is what's made it a little bit difficult, is early on this year, the Alamo said there was no cemeteries on the property.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And then now what they're saying is that because it doesn't have any markers, there's no evidence, surface evidence of burials, that it doesn't meet the definitions under the laws of Texas. So basically you're saying because our families did not erect any granite monuments that could last over 300 years, that they're not deserving of equal protection under the laws. And we don't believe that that's true.
And Linda Jimenez, can you tell me what your view is here?
Well, I'm very much in accordance with Ramon, obviously, since I'm part of the Coateca Nation. But our position is that what we want is for it to be recognized that we have people there. It's not just our people. It's lots of other groups of people. As Ramon said, there's Spanish soldiers there. There were African Americans who were there. There were Europeans buried there. Obviously, the Spanish were there. We were there, our native people. It's not an Indian burial ground. It's a Catholic cemetery. And as a Catholic cemetery, it should, as any kind of cemetery, not whether it's Catholic or any other kind, it should be given the respect that a cemetery has under the law. And we haven't seen that yet.
And I don't know what the official position is of the state of Texas, but you can imagine that. I mean, this is the Alamo we're talking about,
exactly,
which is the origin space for the Texas mythology. And it's very important for them to try. And they're spending $1 billion on trying to reconstruct the Alamo into something that's worthy of this Texas ideal. And do you think they're going to let the concerns of some native peoples get in their way of their bulldozers?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's why we're in federal court. So we'll see. Obviously, it's a lot of money. But let me remind people, when you erase the history of a culture, of a people from a site, when you erase that history and when you say you're going to tell that story someplace else off-site, that's called cultural genocide. I don't know what other name to give it. But when you erase a people's culture from a site, that's cultural genocide. And that's what's happening right now, today.
Okay, I'm going to get another caller. Got a lot of calls here. James, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, James. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is James Hernandez, and I'm an actual mission descendant. My father is Epifanio Hernandez. He was actually appointed by the National Park Service to be a representative for the Native American community here in San Antonio, especially for the missions. And, of course, you know, his father was Alvino Hernandez, and my great grandfather was Epifanio Hernandez again, and I can go a few generations more, but you know, we are actual Mission descendants, and I'm a member of the Tehuan Band of Mission Indians. I know a caller named Rick called earlier and mentioned us. And my question is, how are, you know, Ramon, how are you involving the Tehuan Band of Mission Indians? Because I'm hearing a lot of speak about, you know, involving all these people and non-natives when we have Native Americans here that are from the missions, that we're not Canary Islanders. There's a difference. We're not Canary Islanders. Those are Spaniards. We're actually indigenous people, aboriginal people from this area that seem to be excluded. And I'm the next generation. And so I'm kind of being, I feel like I'm being left out of these conversations where, you know, I think I put my time in. I got a graduate degree. I'm a doctoral student right now. I'm very engaged in my local community. But yet, it seems like anyone can start a nonprofit and claim that they're native. And then San Antonio likes this essential Indian. So they kind of give it. The thing is, Mission families now, we're working. We work. We have our history. We have our oral history. But now I know we have, being a doctoral student, we have to write that down so that way people won't steal it from us.
All right. James, thank you for the call. So we're coming up on a break, and I don't want to, you know, try and make you answer that within 30 seconds. So what we want to do is when we come back, we're going to talk about how, I mean, there's a lot of different stories that need to be told in San Antonio. No one has the indigenous people's story. And so we have to figure out, let's be inclusive. And we'll talk to you, Ramon and Linda and Sean, about efforts that are being made to capture all these stories, all this history, and bring it and save it. And we're not just talking about today, we're not just talking about tomorrow, but we're talking about the future. So we're going to take a break, and you're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about Indigenous Peoples Day, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Bree Kirkham, the digital news producer for TPR. Our reporters work hard to cover issues you care about here in San Antonio, and it's my job to make sure those stories are as accessible as possible on our website and TPR News app. In this ever-changing news cycle, we pride ourselves on finding new angles to the stories taking over the community, and that includes clean and interactive presentations online. I also want to engage with you personally to learn about the topics most interesting to you, so if you don't already, follow TPR News on Twitter and Texas Public Radio on Instagram. This is your community, and we are your newsroom. If you're able, please consider becoming a member or giving an additional gift for our fall pledge drive. You can donate at tpr.org and catch up on some local news while you're there. Thanks.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We were having a discussion earlier about the Alamo and the designation of part of the grounds as an official Texas cemetery, because we know that there are remains there of different groups, including indigenous people and African Americans and Spaniards, and that's become a point of contention. We do have a statement here from the City of San Antonio attorney. This says the Alamo, the city, Alamo Trust, and the General Land Office, quote, are following the strict legal protocols set forth by the Texas Health and Safety Code as it relates to the possible discovery of human remains at the Alamo. The project will obtain the necessary permits for archaeology and with the protections and preservations of designated burial grounds. So that is their statement. But I want to get back to the call we had before we went to break. And talking about the different groups we have in San Antonio who have legitimate and proven claims of indigenous bloodlines. And so, Ramon Vasquez, how do we, as the executive director of the American Indians in Texas at the Spanish Colonial Missions, make sure that you are able to represent as many as you can?
Right. So,
and it's tough.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Look, we have over, like I said before, 100,000 descendants that come from the missions. We work really closely with those that want to work with us. There's others that don't want to work with us. And so, James, the caller, you know, we've worked with his family for a long time now. We've also worked with the Carrizo Comecrudo, Antonio Diaz, who, thank you, Antonio, for all the work that you've done to get the designation for the...
He's tireless.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, he's been relentless. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are just taking charge and doing what they have to do in order to protect their interest. And that's what we encourage. Right now, there's a lot of things. This, you know, the city of San Antonio is recognized. We just recognized Tricentennial. Now we have this issue with the Alamo. We need for people to get involved. You know, the lawsuit itself is going to $80,000. And so this type of work, it costs a lot of money, a lot of time and effort, and we need all the help that we can get. And so I encourage, if you're a lineal descendant, reach out. We have, at the office, we have so many applications that have come in terms of lineal descendants that are letting us know, hey, you know what, I think we're from the Missions of San Antonio. Can you help us? So next year, what we're doing, the Tricentennial for Mission San Jose is happening next year. We'll be celebrating 300 years for Mission San Jose. So what we're doing, our organization is doing, is we're going to recognize the families from Mission San Jose as the original people. There is not one park, building, or street named after any of the indigenous people that have come out of the missions in San Antonio. Not one. And so we have a long ways to go. We don't have any statues. We don't promote historical figures like Juan Rodriguez, who was the chief of the Irbipiamo Indians, who helped lead the Entradas into East Texas, who's buried at the Alamo, who was a significant player into the movement into the Fronteras. You won't see one single statue of him. Now they're talking about possibly making one at the Alamo, but that might change now because that was before the issue of the cemetery.
Sean Marceau with the UTSA Archaeological Research Center, what kind of work is being done at UTSA? This is a question, you know, with related to indigenous history, what's being done?
Sure. So with the UTSA Center for Archaeological Research, we have a legacy program, which is an outreach and education program where we visit schools. We have schools visit our facility. We have educational programming. And you know, our mission is really to get the word out. Our mission is archaeology and archaeological research as well, but education and outreach is obviously a clear mission of ours. And so what we do is we try to reach as many students as we can. I'm a father of two young children, and, you know, they only know what we teach them. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer in starting young and being open and honest about those conversations. I think that one of the things that keeps coming up is that dialogue, is that conversation, the tough conversation that we have to continue to have, and regardless of whether we're talking about state and federal agencies or federally recognized tribes or state recognized tribes or local tribes, you know, all of these groups have to continue to dialogue. We have to continue to have those conversations, as uncomfortable and awkward as they can be, because it's only, you know, what we do through that process is we build rapport, we build relationships that we can use then to educate and make sure people are more aware of the history of San Antonio and where we are today, how we got here, and where we need to go.
Okay, another caller, Hiram. Hiram, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. So exactly talking about identification, I always seem to have an issue when I'm doing demographical data in the upcoming census. I feel I'm multicultural. Family tells me that we have origin history, but why would you recommend to regular people here in the state of Hispanic descent to fill out the census? I don't feel I'm white. I certainly can claim Hispanic, but what's your take on the upcoming census and the importance of that?
All right, thank you for that question. Linda Jimenez, you know, what would you, if someone has indigenous roots,
how would they put it down on the census? And is that important to you that, that they do step forward and identify that way, self-identify?
I have exactly that same problem. It's hard to know because, you know, and the, in my opinion, it depends on how you want to be counted. Do you want to be counted as an indigenous person? Do you want to be counted as Hispanic? Do you want to be counted as African American? It depends on what your own personal desire is, because how you mark it on there is how it gets counted.
Right. And so real quickly, Ramon, if you could talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important. We have the 2020 census coming in. We've seen that for the past two censuses. We've had an increase of American Indians in San Antonio. We anticipate there's going to that increase is going to continue. We have a project called Making the Invisible Visible. And it's a national campaign about urban Indian populations being undercounted. And we need everybody who's indigenous, American Indian, residing in San Antonio to come out and make sure they participate in the census. Call our office, figure out these type of questions. They can call our office. We can help them with this issue. It's going to be a personal decision, obviously, but it's so important. So visit our website, Urban Indian SA. You can see the statistics of San Antonio, what's happening there. San Antonio has a long ways to go. We are, like I said earlier, 10th in the nation with a population. So,
let's go to Angela on the phone. Angela, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to sincerely say a very sincere thank you to whoever created the program today, because I myself, I'm a Navajo Native American, and so we're from the Four Corners. But I always try to bring light to the history of San Antonio and exactly, you know, how religion was brought to us and the Native Americans and the missions. And people just, what really bothers me is how willfully ignorant people are. Not just ignorant, but willfully ignorant, because they don't want to hear the ugly truth. But I think we should be talking about that. And so I am very moved today to hear this on the air, because you're bringing light to a topic that I feel is purposefully hidden. And so I just want to say, again, a sincere thank you to whoever decided to do this program today, and also ask how can I contribute, although I'm not a mission Native American. I am a Native American, and I completely support what y'all are doing here and would like to contribute.
Angelica, thank you for your call. All Native peoples, you know, here in the United States and elsewhere around the world, Brazil, you know, they still have massive issues in South America, right. In Central America.
All over
the world. Canada, you know, this is a global issue.
So you know that it's, you know, indigenous communities are asserting their sovereignty. That's what's happening across the country, across the continent. And I think it's a sign of the times. I think this is what's happening. We're being forced to own our narrative, our story. And the same thing what's going on in Hawaii, it's not about telescopes. Mm-hmm. It started off
about the mountain.
That's correct. It started off about telescopes. But it's not about telescopes, and they'll tell you themselves right now. It's about how we've been treated historically to this day.
So marginalized, sort of discounted, rights taken away, and then forgotten.
That's right.
And then we can't let that happen.
For the first time in history, the Cherokee Nation, it's sending a delegation to Congress, which they were allowed.
Under the treaty.
That's right.
So I have about a minute left, but you know, I want to really focus really quickly on this last 60 seconds talking about this is inclusion. Everyone, even if you have no indigenous DNA in you, should be able to participate in Indigenous Peoples Day. Yes or no? Linda, I reach out to you.
Well, yes, I agree with you 100%. This is really about getting everybody involved and getting everybody understanding and reaching that consciousness about what was here and what is still here and what can be in the future.
Because you may not be indigenous, but you have a role to play, and you were certainly impacted by the gifts that were given to us, or sometimes yes. taken from, by the from the people who were here before. I want to thank all of our guests. I'm sorry, Ramon Vasquez, Linda Jimenez, Sean Marceau. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.